May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 1034. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee, absent from thee I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me, I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. Hymn 1034. Let us read from the Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Greatly need thee, and without thee we can do nothing. And what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Lord, we would worship thee in thy great holiness and abase ourselves before thee. For there is nothing in us that can merit esteem or give the Creator delight. We cry unto thee for thy grace, that thou would pour it forth into our hearts. Free grace, nothing of us, all of thee, all of everlasting love. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, we beseech thee, upon each soul here, and enable us each to cry unto thee, that thou wilt not pass us by, that thou wilt have mercy upon us, that thou wilt grant us grace, that thy love might be shed abroad in our hearts, and that Jesus Christ might be revealed to us as our Saviour. Our Redeemer, the one who has borne away all our sins into the land of forgetfulness. Oh, we would humble ourselves before thee. Lord, thou seest the vileness of our hearts. Help, our thoughts and imaginations are continually evil, and we cannot think one thought aright. Unless thy spirit breathe, O slaves to Satan and to sin, and lovers of this world, Lord, we confess it before thee. Oh, how can we get low enough to confess before thee our utter unworthiness that thou shouldest look upon us? But Lord, thou didst remember the beggar, and thou dost remember beggars still. So we come with, in the words of one, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. O Lord, send help from above, and may it please thee to send help from the sanctuary, this sanctuary, and from the sanctuary of heaven. Touch our hearts. Grant us true contrition, a humbling of ourselves before thee, true confession, true repentance, broken hearts, contrite spirits. For thou dost not despise the broken and the contrite hearts. O Lord, we beseech thee, help us now to come as nothings, looking to thee to supply our every need, to guide us through life, to prepare us for that great day when we must stand before thee. O Lord, for some of us it has now become a very great thing, as we realise the time must be short. But none is too young to die. So then prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Wash us, make us clean, put a new spirit within us, lead us forth by the power of thy Spirit, and keep us from the evil that does so easily beset us. Oh, do come, we beseech thee, reign in our hearts, draw our affections unto thee. May we be found among the living, those whom thou hast blessed, and those whom thou wilt bless. May we be found among those who are being prepared through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of heaven. We do ask that thou wilt remember each one here in all their different cases, and especially those who are bowed down by the burden of their sin and iniquity. Those who are crying unto thee, their hearts fainting within them. They are looking for thee, Lord, and cannot perceive thee on the right hand nor the left. It is Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, do come, do each soul good. And may not one soul be left out. We pray for each one here, and those of our congregation who are not with us, that thou wilt bless, in blessing thou wilt bless, and that thy name might be greatly honoured and glorified. Oh, we do ask, Lord, that this great work of salvation may be more known in our midst, that it may be apparent that thou art still working amongst us, that thou wilt not leave us to go on in a cold, formal way, resting on false hopes. It is life, eternal life. Quicken our souls, cause them to cry unto thee, and send down answers of peace. We humbly ask thee. O Lord, without thy word, all is in vain. It is all of grace, from first to last. So come, we beseech thee. We ask that thou wilt bless the word among us today, that thou wilt help Benji to read the sermon, and that we might be given hearing ears to hear that which has been preached before time. Oh, may there be something that is fastened in our hearts with divine power to cause us to admire sovereign grace, to cause us to bring ourselves low to thee, to thy footstool, crying unto thee, mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. We do ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember the one who cannot come here today, and be with him where he is, and bless the word there. And may it be that this is all in thy appointments, and that we may be enabled to look back and admire thy dealings, though often they cause us much perplexity. So may all things work together for our good. And Lord, we pray for one we hope to hear here this evening, that thou wilt come with him, that he may come in the blessing of the Lord, and that he may be enabled to speak of the wonders of redeeming love to the very worst of sinners. We ask that thou wilt remember each one in their troubles. And Lord, we specially pray for our dear brother deacon. Help him now to read, but in all that lies upon him, grant him thy sustaining grace. And his dear wife, O do grant, Lord, that in her soul she may enjoy the peace of God that passeth understanding, in all her deep affliction. And we pray for others that are afflicted, and their families, the families of Benji and Lydia. Lord, remember them each and bless them, and do sanctify this deep trial. Lord, we pray for Jabez and Margaret, and Margaret, Lord, especially, wilt thou draw near, bless her soul, as she solemnly realizes how quickly she is being brought down. And we pray for Heather and Gerald Bass in their deep affliction also. Lord, do appear, we beseech thee. And there are many sorrows, many afflictions, many troubles among our churches. Lord, do cause us to consider these things. And wherefore thou dost so afflict us. Oh, that we might be given humble spirits to inquire of the Lord why it is so, and to plead with thee to appear, to make the crooked straight, that thy name might be glorified, that thou hast done it. Lord, do not leave us to an outward cold formality. It is a living religion we seek, something done in the soul for eternity, that we might know thee, that we might hear thy voice and live. We do give thee thanks, O Lord, for all thee. The worship we can now enjoy, meeting together in the house of prayer, to hear thy word together, and that we may unitedly praise thy name. Lord, we have been through a dark time, and Lord, we do ask thee, oh, may it please thee to continue this privilege, if it is thy holy will. Use it, Lord. Oh, do come. Work amongst us, and send thy servants with a word from the Lord, a word which shall profit our souls, that shall lead us into thy truth. Do come and bless us, and help us to pray for those who are, many who are away today, that thou wilt bless them where they are, and help them, and bring them all back safely. At the appointed time, do them good, Lord, in their bodies and in their souls. We do pray that it might please thee to gather in more into this house of prayer. Those around this house of prayer who walk by, those who have taken Bibles, Lord, do bless it to them and cause them to come in and to worship with us. If thy holy will. We humbly bow before thee. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies. We thank thee for every providence in our lives. We do ask now, come and bless us together as we hear the reading this morning. And may not one soul go away unmoved by the gospel of thy grace. Remember us as a nation, O Lord, and do appear. O, if it might please thee, grant a turning again to seek the living God. Hear us in heaven, O Lord, and forgive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1022. 1022. There is a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign. Infinite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. Hymn 1022. Preached by Mr. Humberstone, and you will find the texts in Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. As we were enabled this morning, we feebly looked at this text and how the Lord brings down his people before him. Those that he has loved with an everlasting love, he deals with them in this time state. In all his dealings with them, it is more or less to humble them before him and to bring them down in their own estimation before him. I had thought before this morning to read the morning sermon, but when I awoke this morning, it seemed so impressed on me to read this evening's sermon. In our unregeneracy, before the Lord ever began with us, oh, how full of pride we were in our hearts, even if we did not realise it, and how independent we were. We said within, if we did not say it without, we will not have this man to rule over us. No, but if the Lord has a love toward us, if we are in that eternal covenant of grace, if our names are in his book, he will deal with us and he will bring us down before him. As he said, he will bring us upon a sea, a troublesome sea, a tumultuous sea, a sea that is seldom calm, seldom at rest. It is ever moving. There is no stability there. And that is just the experience of the Lord's people oftentimes as he deals with them passing through this life. It is a mercy if we know anything of it. But we want to go further. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he never leaves them to perish in the deep. No, no. Though if he left them to themselves and their own works, even those with graves in their heart, if he left them to themselves to go the way of their own carnal nature, oh, where would it bring them to? Can you not look back, some of you at least, at your past life? And can you not see how the Lord has sometimes hedged up your way so that you could not go the ways you would? Perhaps you have been angry with him, even as Jonah was. You felt you did well to be angry. Sometimes circumstances seem to go against you altogether in the projects of your natural mind, in the things of this time state. And it roused up within you enmity and all the iniquity of your fallen nature sometimes, and you wonder at it. Well, it is a wonderful mercy. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. When you are in these deep places, sooner or later, it will be the greatest wonder under the sun that he has not left you to perish in them. It will indeed. You will look back sometimes and wonder, why has the Lord ever dealt with me? Why did he ever appear for me in such and such things? Why did he ever mercifully return, as it were, to me in my soul, when my own works and my own ways, I deserve nothing but his wrath? You know, it is also a good thing to know that we have wondered at the Lord's chastening hand upon his people. He uses these things oftentimes to chasten them, and it is because he loves them. Oh yes. You would not think of taking somebody else's child, you that are parents, and beginning to chastise it and deal with it as if it was yours. You cannot possibly have that affection for it that you have for your own. So the Lord, in his infinite wisdom and love to his children, he will chasten them many, many times. He will bring such things into their pathway sometimes that they cannot understand them. They are mysterious dealings, and sometimes painful afflictions and sorrow and grief, and things perhaps outwardly in their pathway, in the circumstances of their life, that they cannot understand. But what a mercy he does not leave them in it. No, no, he will certainly sooner or later return to them. How many times, how thankful I have been for that word return in the Bible. Oh, what a wonderful mercy it is when the Lord does return, when we have sometimes wandered away from him after our own things, after our idols, and after many, many things forbidden. How many times have we wandered after them? But by these things he teaches us, as we said this morning, of that which is within our hearts, as he did Israel of old. He teaches the covetousness of our nature, the idolatry of it, and he teaches us the enmity that still dwells in our heart, the unbelief, even the infidelity. He will teach you these deep things. Does it do you any good? Of course it does. Oh, how it enhances salvation when the Lord does mercifully come again. When you have been in a long dark season, you have reeled to and fro and perhaps staggered, wondered where the scene would end. Your earthly joys have perhaps from you been torn, and oft you have mourned an absent God. But his eye is ever on his people. His ear is ever open to their cry. and his purpose is to bring cries out of them. As in this psalm, how repeated it is, then they cry unto the Lord. While you have got any strength and wisdom of your own, and you can scheme things out yourself, you will not cry, you know. But you will, if the Lord turns it upside down, blows on your schemes and projects, brings them to an end, and brings you down before him helpless. You feel it, and there is none to help. Oh, it is honouring to him. It will bring cries out of your heart. We read in Solomon's Song what the bridegroom says to his spouse. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. We cannot understand this. This does not mean when he is blessing you. No, no, it is his own blessed work within that he will honour, and he is pleased with it when you are brought down helpless before him as a poor wretched sinner with no hope left in yourself. Why, you will look to him then, will you not? All your hope is in him when you are brought to the end of all your own strength and can do nothing. It is only believers, only the Lord's people, who really know and experience this. The world and the mere professors of religion know nothing of it. He can plan and scheme out his own way, but in these dealings of the Lord with his children, it is all springing out of his infinite love to teach them. Heaven, you know, will be filled with redeemed sinners. Once they were mourning here below and wet their couch with tears. They wrestled hard as we do now with sins and doubts and fears. Yes, but they are brought through, and now they are singing that song of the redeemed. They would not sing it so loud, would they, if they had not passed through everything that they have passed through in this world. For I do not believe when the Lord brings his people into heaven that it will all be forgotten. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, as we read in that beautiful chapter, Revelation 21, but they are redeemed. What are they redeemed from? Their sins, their shortcomings, their failures. They are redeemed, and they will sing forever of that redemption. They will bless and praise the author of that redemption, Christ. He has been made precious to them in this life. He will be precious to all eternity. Oh, what a mercy it is sometimes, even in this life, for the Lord to appear, even as in this further account of this people that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, though he raises up the stormy wind oftentimes, though he brings black clouds and shadows into your pathway at times. Yet it is not all, it is not all darkness. No, no, it is not all deaths, no. He mercifully, as we read here, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He does this at times in the lives of his people, in their experience. Then what follows? Then are they glad because they be quiet. Oh, what a mercy it is sometimes to have this experience, after perhaps you may have had a period in your life when you have experienced a terrible upheaval, everything being turned upside down, and the Lord hiding his face. You are troubled, and darkness seems to be yours. You wonder whether he will ever shine into your poor heart any more. You feel your sins, You know what you deserve. But what a mercy when he comes again. Well, you know the Lord's people pass through many changes. Oh, do we not read that solemn word? They that have no changes, fear not God. But the Lord's living family, who are exercised in these things, pass through many changes. Then we find that the storm has been made a calm, the waves thereof are now stilled. Oh, it brings to mind, does it not, when he went out to cross the lake with his disciples, and a storm sprung up upon the lake. It was not by chance, no, no. That very person in his almighty Godhead knew all about it. Although his humanity was asleep through weariness with his head on a pillow in the rear of the ship, his disciples were filled with fear, feeling they were in jeopardy, and came and awoke him. In Mark's version of it, the language is strong. They went to him and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke. He stood up in the middle of that ship in all the glory of his divine person, and he commanded the waves to be still. And there was a great calm. Well might they in their ignorance, for they were yet very ignorant of this person, well might they say to one another, Behold, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? Oh, how plainly it shows us that they did not as yet realize his Godhead, that he was the very creator of all these things. As it is written here, For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Sometimes, you know, in troubles, perhaps, and in different afflictions, I have known it when I have been in troubles, people have sometimes said to me, Well, it's according to the will of the Lord, you know. He controls everything. Oh, yes, yes, I've said. I acquiesce to it. But there has been something inside that has rebelled and said, Oh, but I wish he would rule differently. He could if he would. And so, rebellion works in the heart. But what a mercy that he does sometimes make the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven, and that is Christ. He reveals himself to them in all his love and mercy, his beauty and compassion. Oh, what a mercy it is to have a little faith in exercise in your heart at times, to see him in his humanity still in heaven, and to know that he still has that human heart. How slow we are to believe it. Indeed, we cannot believe it, left to ourselves, that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And that though he was a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things he suffered. Not by the things he was blessed with, but the things he suffered in this sinful world, as he was working out a redemption for his people. Oh, what wonderful mysteries these are. What a help it is to you when the Holy Ghost brings faith into your heart in exercise, and then your pains and your sorrows and your griefs, which sometimes seem as if they would overwhelm you altogether, are gone. What a mercy it is to have just a glimpse, as it were, of this glorious God-man, and to feel in your heart that he sympathizes with you. Oh, we cannot believe it by nature, can we? But it is for our good. How can you believe it is How can you see wisdom? How can you see love upon these trying things? But with grace in exercise, the Holy Ghost can give you to see love inscribed upon them all. It is done in this way, to humble you before him, to make salvation shine in your eyes. When he does make the storm a calm, and the waves thereof are stilled, and he is bringing you to your desired haven, oh, sometimes has your heart softened a little? You think, however canst thou be so merciful to me, after all my wickedness, after all my idolatry, after all my covetousness, after all the sin and rebellion of my sinful nature, how canst thou look upon me? Will this not make you sing the song of redemption higher? Oh, it will. It is sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. It is as he brings you down by these things, and then grants you a season of sweet peace in your soul, that he makes the gospel sweet to you again. He can make it sweet either from the pulpit or in prayer, or in a line or two of the beautiful hymns that we sing. He may apply it to your heart, and how sweet it is. A light shines upon it, and you perhaps think, I never saw it like that. It brings repentance into your heart. Your tears will flow down your cheek. They will inside if they do not outside. How sorrowful you will be for your sins, your wanderings from him. How the things of time and sense have stolen your time and drawn your affections away from him, and how you lament over it within. You will say, oh, canst thou look upon me? Can ever God dwell here again? But he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is written here, he maketh the storm a calm. And he does, you know, sometimes. Has he ever, for a few moments at least, in your experience, made the storm a calm? The turbulent waves within of sin and iniquity, Satan's temptations perhaps, or things in your pathway that are worrying you, providential things, circumstances in your life. Oh, has he ever brought the storm to a calm within? Faith has come into exercise, and you have had to be still and know that he is God, and that your times are in his hand absolutely. We repeat these things, do we not? We sing about them, but oh, 'tis a different matter to walk them out. What a mercy it is at times to be enabled to walk them out, to walk in them, and to find that he controls everything. He controls the waves. He lifts them up. He brings them down. He causes the storm to be a calm and brings the waves to be still. And he only can. He will make you know that he only can. You might as well stand on the seashore and command the waves literally to be still as to try to still these things in your own bosom. You are just as helpless. But he is almighty. They are all in his hand. The waters, he holds them in the hollow of his hand, and the wind in his fists. Oh, it is a mercy to know these changes. Then we are told, then are they glad because they be quiet. Why, of course they are. They cannot help it. And thankfulness and praise will rise up in their poor heart. But perhaps before long, down they go again into the depths. Did you notice at the beginning of that chapter that we read in Revelation, of the things that were revealed to John, he says one wonderful thing, and there was no more sea. How significant that word has been to me sometimes. There was no more sea. No more troublesome sea, No more turbulent waves. No more billows rising up against you. No more sea. Besides that, the sea divided him, for he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. The sea was between him and his beloved church. He was banished from them, and the sea was between. But oh, he said that at last, in that glorious place, there will be no more sea, no more division. No, no, all God's people will at last be gathered together in one in that glorious heaven. No more sea. It is a significant word, I believe. But here we shall have many a journey over a troublesome sea. Then when we come to the end, oh, there is that river, that dark river to cross, is there not? That river between us and that Canaan above. That suggests death. I used to know a godly man in Yorkshire, an old gentleman, and he used to often say to me, he was very familiar with me, "I have a good hope of heaven, George, but oh, it is that dark river, passing that dark river that troubles my poor soul." But you know, when he came to his end, it was like this. He was on his way in the town he lived in to the prayer meeting to meet with a few, and he was knocked down by a motorcyclist. His head struck the curb, and he was rendered unconscious for 48 hours. He was unconscious and then passed away. I have wondered many a time if he ever saw the river. I have. It was a wonderful end that he had, and his trouble about the river was ended then altogether. Well, what a wonderful mercy it is if we are brought at times to view that land that is before us. Oh, what a prospect there is, you know, before God's people. Oh, I would not change all my sorrows and pains with the world. No, no, I would not part with my little hope in the mercy and grace of Christ. No, not for a million worlds. My infirmities have perhaps been more than most, but I would not change. No, no. Sometimes, you know, the Lord does give his people, I believe, just a little sight of that glorious land of peace and blessedness where sin can never enter, where Satan is forever shut out, where there is no more sea and nothing that defiles will ever enter there. Christ is the light of that place. They have no need of the sun. They need not the light of the moon. Oh, the glory of Christ fills it with light. Is it ever attractive to you? Is it the heaven you long for sometimes? I know it is with me. There are many fantastical ideas of heaven in the world, are there not? But that is the Bible description of it. And it fits in with what I want exactly, perfectly. It is the heaven I look forward to. Sometimes, you know, it is very attractive, very attractive. What is the world compared with it? Oh, if the Lord ever blesses you in your lifetime with a little visit of Christ in your soul and makes him precious, it is so sweet. What is the world to you then? Insignificant. It is, as Milton puts it in his Paradise Lost, that clod of dust which men call earth. And that's all it is compared with a glorious heaven. In the latter days of your life, you look back. I look back over 80 years, and when I look back, how short they seem. I do not wonder at Jacob saying to Pharaoh, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." But there was a blessed prospect before him. He never thought at one time that he would come to the end that he did he? When in his trials, he cried out on one occasion, "All these things are against me. You will bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Ye have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land." But his grey hairs did not go down with sorrow, did they? Now he proved that all those things were not against him. They were for him, really. They made him seek his God, and they took away his idolatrous affection of his children. They weaned him from that, And they brought him at last to that place where he just had to gather his feet into the bed and give up the ghost and pass over Jordan into that glorious heaven that Christ has gone to prepare for his people. Well, he makes the storm a calm at last, so that the waves thereof are still. I know that some pass over this Jordan full of trouble. I could not help but think just now of the language of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, first part, where Christian comes to the river. As he gets into it, he says, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I sink in deep waters." Hopeful, though, was with him, and he said, "Be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom." "Oh," said Christian, "Hopeful is thy name, and thou hast ever been hopeful." But he got over, did he not? The Lord mercifully brought him through. Bunyan, in his wonderful way, he says that as the gates were open to receive them, he caught just a glimpse of what was on the other side of those gates. He saw the streets paved with gold. He saw bright people clothed in bright attire. But this always touches me when I read it. He says, "And I could have wished myself among them." Have you ever felt that in your heart? Ever felt what are the things of this poor, vain, sinful world? This world will be burnt up in a blaze one day. There is nothing stable in it. Oh, what a mercy it will be if we are found at last on that right-hand side of the great white throne, and we hear that blessed voice, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." If you look at the other side, how dreadful. That multitude on the other side will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from those eyes that look them through and through. Oh, what a solemn day that will be, but what a blessed day for God's people. Sometimes, you know, we are unable to contemplate it with a little sweetness and anticipation in our hearts. Then he winds up with this, "So he bringeth them unto their desired haven." You look at those two words. It does not just say he brings them to their haven, but it is to their desired haven. Any other haven would be false, would it not? But this desired haven is Christ. Christ, his finished work, his glorious righteousness, his atonement for sin, his intercession for them. Oh, this is the desired haven of God's people. Heaven would not be heaven without Christ, would it? Christ is heaven to his people. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to have a moment or two in your experience with the sweetness of this in your heart. So after all these ups and downs, this path of tribulation, these storms that you have encountered both in providence and in grace, after passing over this turbulent sea, at last to be brought where there is no sea, and to be brought at last into this desired haven. Here I must leave it. The time is gone. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Christie will preach this evening, Mr. Chapman on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is 988. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Learning, pleasure, wealth and fame, all cry out, it is not here. Hymn 988.
Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt use those things that we have read and sung even this day, that thou wilt cause them to be by the power of thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of one and another, that we each might have that prospect in view, a precious Jesus. O Lord, thou hast brought us through thus far. We pray that thou wilt help us each and go before us. Increase our faith and enable us to look and to trust in thee, that thou wilt go before us in all our untrodden steps, O Lord, and reveal thyself to us. What more can we desire? A precious Jesus, the one who can save us from our sins and make us right for that heaven before us. O Lord, that it might be before us each. Do work then in each heart and remember each one for good. O bring one and another to rejoice in thy salvation. Lord, we pray now that thou wilt go before us through the rest of this day, that thou wilt bring thy servant to us this evening with a message from thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give him that word, and that thou wilt give him that liberty to speak, and that thou wilt cause it to be with power in the hearts of each one. Thy presence known and felt here in thy house. Lord, look down then in mercy upon a group of poor unworthy sinners and grant us each a true blessing. Be with us now and all our journey here below. And now may the love of Christ, may the grace of our Christ be with us, and the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.